Hello, everyone. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I have a very, very loving guest interviewee today that you're going to love. He wrote the book, The Power of the Heart. We all know about that, and it's a collaborative. He interviewed a lot of big-name people we'll mention a bit later, and also has created a film on the power of the heart. So welcome to the show, Baptiste Depape. I'm so excited to speak with you.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Veronica.
Well, I want to know how you got into all this, because aren't you a lawyer?
Yes, I am a lawyer. Well,
I hate to be cheeky about it, but most of us don't think of lawyers as coming from the heart, do we?
I don't know if you've seen the movie Liar, Liar with Jim Carrey.
Oh, I did, yeah.
That's about a lawyer who learns to, connect with his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the movie was directed by Tom Shadyac, who also, you know, later on really became an ambassador of the heart, I think.
Oh,
with
and
movie,
what's
I
his
am.
Name? Tom? Oh, yeah.
Tom Shadyac.
Okay.
Yes, he directed the spiritual movie I Am.
Right, and he also came apart at one point, got very, very ill, didn't he? And that shifted his whole focus, right?
Yes, I think he had a bike accident. And that really shifted his perception of what was really important.
Well, let's see what shifted yours. You became a lawyer. What turned you?
Yeah, I was a lawyer, and I was about to sign a contract with a big international law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't feel right. I really felt I don't want to be a lawyer for the rest of my life anymore. Life is short, and do I want to do this? And everyone in my environment was very excited about this opportunity to start working for this big law firm. They said, "Oh, what an opportunity!" And what a career opportunity. But it didn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
So one night I was. I couldn't sleep because I knew I really had to make a decision whether I was going to sign this contract or not. And if I didn't want to do this, what else was I going to do with my life? So I couldn't sleep, and I started watching a video on YouTube. Somehow I found it, and it was about finding your purpose in life. And Oprah Winfrey said, "I think there's nothing more important than finding your purpose in life." And it really resonated with me. And Eckhart Tolle was in conversation with Oprah on that video, and he said, "If you want to find your purpose in life, you can ask yourself, what do I want from life? But a more powerful question would be, what does life want from me?" And he said, "You can't get there through thinking. You have to find moments of stillness in order to find answers to that question, what does life want for me?" So the next day I went into the park and I started walking. And while I was walking, I started meditating on this question. And I started meditating on this question for an hour and really nothing.
Were you at the time an experienced meditator, or was that new to you as well?
No, I was always interested in spirituality, and I did a course in transcendental meditation when I was, 17, 18. But this was more, walking and repeating the question for myself, what does life want from me? And I tried to do this, in a silent environment, nature. So, I didn't get an answer to this question after 1 hour, and I said, "Okay, perhaps I'm impatient." But all of a sudden, it started to rain, and it was raining so hard that I forgot all about the question, and I was really looking for a place to hide from the rain. And while I was standing under some trees, all of a sudden, it felt like there was a bone in my heart, and it broke. And I know, we don't have bones in our heart, but it felt that way, like there was a bone, and it broke. And it was so powerful, so overwhelming, and I felt so much love, and I started to cry. And I really felt like coming home. And at that moment, I had the thought, and it was a very powerful thought, you have to make a movie about the heart.
Aha.
My mind was saying, "You're crazy, you don't know anything about film production, and you don't know anything about the heart." But the emotion of feeling at home, of feeling this is it, was so strong that that was stronger than what my mind was saying. And so that's how my journey started. But I had no background in film production, and I didn't know anything about the heart. So, yeah.
Well, let me just get back to that in a minute. I want to go back to something you said at the beginning. You were going to sign a big contract with an international firm, but it didn't feel right. Isn't that one of the greatest tools that we can use? It didn't feel right, right?
Yes. I think Mark Nepo says it beautifully in our film. He says, you know, in every moment, ask, where is the aliveness now? And, you know, if you don't feel the aliveness, if you don't feel the excitement, if you don't feel the enthusiasm, then it's probably not what you're supposed to do. If you have to make a decision in your life, you can make a list with all the pros and cons, and you can really approach it from a very rational, linear, logical perspective. But if it doesn't feel right, and I think the heart is the center of those feelings, then, you know, I don't do it anymore. I've really learned to go with my intuition during the course of the production of this movie.
Hmm.
Yes.
I would like to see the movie. I just watched the trailer and I loved it. But so how did you go from not being a filmmaker into being a filmmaker? But also your book is wonderful. So let's...
Yes. The book came later. So... Yes, the first thing I had to do is tell, you know, my friends and my family and the law firm that I didn't want to do this anymore. And everyone thought I was crazy. They said, you know, why, you know, you could be so great in this, and why are you not doing this? You worked so hard for it. So that was the hardest thing, you know, just to say to your environment, to your family and friends that you were not going to do this. And I said, okay, I'm going to make a movie about heart. And everyone thought he's crazy, doesn't know anything about movie making. And now he wants to, you know, also produce, a spiritual film about the heart. And the second thing was, yes, I didn't know anything about film production. So I thought, okay, I need to do two things. I need to start talking with film producers, because I need to know how does this work, a film production, and how do you get it financed. And the other thing was, I need to do research on the heart. So I started speaking with film producers in Holland, in Amsterdam, where I live. And I realized that, you know, they really didn't want to talk with me, because they thought, oh, this is a lawyer and he wants to make spiritual film about the heart. And they basically told me it was never going to work. So I realized, okay, they don't want to talk with me. So I said, who else can I talk to? And then I realized that I'm, you know, maybe could talk to retired film producers, because at least they have time. And so I found a retired film producer, and he said, you know, if you buy me a cup of coffee, then I'll talk to you. And so that's how I really did it. You know, I started talking with him, and he gave me some tips and tricks, and he gave me some advice. But in the, you know, after 1 hour, he said, well, still, it's impossible what you want to do. And on the other end, of course, I was researching the heart, and if I was researching all spiritual traditions and religions, and, you know, if you really look at them, then the heart is been described in all spiritual traditions and in almost all religions as a source of wisdom and intelligence. And I realized that, of course, I couldn't talk to Jesus and Lao Tzu and the Buddha anymore, so I had to find people in our time who are ambassadors of the heart, who are talking about the heart. My first intention was really to produce a movie, but when we were working on the film script, I realized, this, you know, with all these wonderful contributors, you know, this could also be a wonderful, wonderful book. And that's how the book came to be.
Did you find, one of the things I've learned about the heart is that it's, what did I read not very long ago, was that it's thousands of times more intelligent than the brain. Have you read?
I don't know if that's true, but what I've learned is this. You know, people ask me, what is the difference between the brain and the heart, and let's say the mind and the heart. And what I've learned from all the interviews, it's like this. If you are on a boat on a river, then your mind can only see the next bend, you know, the next turn on the river.
Right.
But your heart can see everything from a much higher perspective. Your heart can see the whole river, the whole journey from source to sea. And that's our intuition. That's the heart's intuition. And our challenge is to experiment with it and learn to trust it. And I think that's that is a journey. And I think I went through the journey because I had no background and experience in film production.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the infrastructure and experience, then you are almost forced to rely on your intuition, on your heart's intuition. And that's why I...
And you're chutzpah, you have to have the strength of character. You have to trust your heart, don't you?
Yes, you have to have courage.
Thing. Yeah.
You have to have courage. It's a very important virtue if you want to work from the heart. Dr. Maya Angelou said, you know, if you really want to live and work from the heart, courage is the most important virtue, really. And if you look at the word courage, it is derived from the French word cœur, which means heart.
Yes.
And what I've learned, and I think this is really important, and this was also the case for me, from all the interviews I did, all the people I've interviewed, they tried to live the conventional way. And I mean by that the way they were taught in you know, through their parents and through the school system, their conventional education. So they all had, let's say, a logical approach of life, linear approach of life. But all of a sudden something happens, a tragedy or a big crisis. And then the conventional skills can't help you anymore. So they are forced to tap into something bigger, and they are forced to go inside. So tapping into the heart is most of the time not a choice. It just happens, and we need to do it in order to get through the crisis.
Well, do you think it's part of somebody's specific soul's journey? Some people are here to do that, and other people don't ever have to look at it.
Well, if your life is working the way, you know, if your life is just working and you have no crisis, then there's no need to go to the heart. That's what I've learned from the interviews. And so I think it is maybe a soul's journey. I had a conversation about this with Eckhart Tolle, and he had a very tough childhood. He was very depressed, and he had, you know, his parents were difficult, and his mother was depressed. And he said, if I hadn't developed this pain body, this really really strong pain body, then I wouldn't have had this transformation. So yeah, you first need the urge to transform, mm-hmm. and there has to be a very urgent reason. And you will see this in the movie, because we really show some powerful stories where people really have no choice but to go into the heart, and it's a little bit do or die in most of the, you know, most of the times. I mean, Eckhart Tolle is also a great example of that. You know, he was so suicidal
mm-hmm.
that he transformed. And almost all
so
of the time
it was like
people,
a death of himself, so he could come.
Exactly.
Yes.
He said, "I cannot live with myself anymore." And then he realized, "Oh, there are two, because I and myself,
mm-hmm.
and who am I really?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the journey through the heart. And there's a Sioux saying: the longest journey you will ever have is from, you know, the head to the heart. And it's not because we're stupid, because it takes time. And Mark Nepo is also a great example. He said, you know, I was living from, I thought I was living from the heart, but I was doing it from a mind perspective. And for him, it was his cancer that really pushed him to the heart. And it's always a crisis, I think. Because otherwise, why would you go there?
Yeah, because you don't want to disrupt your security. There's something I
yes.
learned years ago from a fellow named Aravinda, who's an amazingly evolved, enlightened man. And
yes.
he's taught me something that I'll never forget, which is you have and I have something to put into the world to really add to the collective. And as I was reading your book, I'm going, yeah, that's what we're doing when we come from the heart. We're really putting our wealth, the wealth of our soul, into the collective, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I feel that what I note, I mean, I'm traveling the world now. I'm doing screenings and interviews all over the world, and I feel like there's almost a thirst for it right now.
Mm-hmm.
People are so open to it. And I note, I mean, there are almost two kinds of people. There are people who hear about the book and the movie and they say, you know, I don't need to hear more. I just want to have it. I just want to explore it. I just want to read it. I just want to watch the movie. They're so ready. They're so thirsty. And there are also people, you know, who say, I don't care so much for this book or this movie. And that's okay too. So somehow on an energetic level, a lot of people are ready for it and a lot of people are just, you know, not into it, and it's okay too. And I think my role is just to say, okay, here it is, it's available, and if you resonate with it, you know, you're welcome to explore it. And
but don't you think people are at different stages in their lives too, that people aren't
going
to want to disrupt security, I think.
Yes, and again, disrupt security, you know, if there's no reason to explore it because you don't feel the urgency, so why do it? You know, if I am in the desert and you are thirsty because you didn't have water for a long time, and I come to you and I say, here is water, you're not going to ask me, oh, is it sparkling water? No, you just want the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's an urgency for you to drink water. I think it's like that. Yeah.
I have peanut butter instead. No, I'm just kidding. So
I don't know. If you have to choose between peanut butter and water, you'll choose water, I think.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. But I see you are changing and growing as a result of this. I mean, you're actually awakening. You're like Johnny Appleseed or something. You're awakening people's hearts all over with your movie and your book, aren't you?
I don't. You know, I hope I'm doing that, and I can feel it that it's happening. Yes.
But
only for those who are open to it and receptive to it. You know, I mean, I just feel a receptiveness. It's not me. I'm just maybe I am an instigator for what's happening already inside a lot of people.
Yeah, but you use the word co-creator as you bring these amazing people together around their. Not work, but they're opening to the heart and what it really means. And I love that co-creator thing, which I think is a worldwide co-creation is what we're talking about, eh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's happening worldwide. And I feel that I'm just a vessel. I call them co-creators, all the people who participated in this project, because I had this strong feeling that I had to make a movie about heart, but I didn't know anything about heart. So that was actually a big advantage because I was so open. And I said, okay, I have so many questions. I'm a very practical guy. If there is a wisdom and an intelligence to the heart, then I want to explore it. And then I want to know how I can apply it to all the very practical, you know, fields of our lives, the practical areas in our lives, you know, career, health, relationships, money, all those things that we're all, you know, busy with every day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I want to create a very practical guide about how we can live from the heart. So I was asking these very practical questions to all these interviewees, and then I realized that they were creating the content, and I was just, you know, asking the questions and creating the platform for it.
Well, what happened to your own heart? I mean, you had your heart whack open. I thought, I like that. I want that. I always get things kind of dribbling open. My heart's opening too, though. I'm ready.
Yes, and yeah, my heart was wide open, but I didn't even realize what was happening. The only thing I realized was, this feels so good, this is so strong, this is so peaceful and loving, this is truth. I mean, you can feel it. When something is true, you just can feel it.
Yeah.
And I was in a situation where I thought, okay, I have no choice anymore but to follow that feeling, that aliveness.
Wow.
And if you have to make a conscious, I mean, once you experience that opening, you have to make a conscious choice every day to go with your mind or to go with your heart. And once you experiment with it, and every time you have to make a choice and you choose to go with your heart and it turns out well, and you say, oh my God, I'm experiencing this synchronicity. Oh, I just met you. And if I hadn't listened to my heart, I wouldn't have met you. And now we are doing this together and you're supporting this project. So the more I follow my heart, the more, you know, things fall, you know, come together, the more things are aligned in my life.
No, and, that's wonderful.
Yes, it is really the case. I mean, it's almost, I think, magical. That's why I like the Alchemist so much, Paulo Coelho's book. It's about a shepherd boy who learns to follow his heart. And once he does that, synchronicities happen and miracles happen. And living from the heart is not living from a linear perspective anymore. So you can't explain logically anymore what happens in your life. But you experience miracles and wonders all the time once you do it on a very consistent basis.
I heard from a fellow who was really into the awakening movement. It's probably not that different, really. But he said once you get into that opening and the awakening, you don't struggle anymore. You don't need to. You need to just follow. You know, you need to go into what the universe is or spirit is really bringing and what you can do. I want to know more about this. Like, you worked with a retired producer, right? And then...
Well, yeah, no, he was more like a consultant in the beginning, you know. I was just asking for him for advice.
So what happened after that?
Yeah, after, you know, so after that, I said, okay, I probably can't get it financed at this point, so I'll just start interviewing people. And I asked two friends of mine, one is also a lawyer and the other has a background in film production, to join me. And then we just started, you know, financing. We financed it ourselves, all the interviews.
Oh, you did?
And then
brilliant.
Later on, you know, when we said, okay, we've got so many interviews and we got, you know, a few big names on board, let's see if he now can create a reenactment around it and can attract a professional co-producer and a professional director. And the director became Drew Harriet, who also produced this, directed The Secret in 2006,
wonderful.
I guess.
Wonderful.
And he was 24 at the time, which is remarkable if you look back at it, that he created it. It became a phenomenon.
Yeah, it went like wildfire, didn't it?
Yes, and of course, this is a complete different message, a complete different content.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a complete different movie and book. But yes, I think he was the right man because he wanted to make a movie about the heart for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And he was trying to produce it and direct it, but he couldn't get it financed. And so, you know, at one point I called him and there was an immediate resonance. He really felt like, oh, I really want to do this. And so he came to Amsterdam to direct the movie.
So this was done in Amsterdam. That's exciting.
Yeah, of course, we had to travel the world to interview all the people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the shooting was done in Amsterdam. We did a lot of production there, yeah.
Did you do a lot of production in simple ways? I mean, did you sort of keep it small or...
No, I mean, if you see the movie for a documentary, it's got a very high production value, I think.
Great.
So, we didn't keep it small, no.
Did you continually attract more people? So when you had these interviews with absolutely amazing people like Eckhart Tolle and Gary Zukav and Dean Schrock and Deepak and Maya, oh my goodness, you know, how did you bring them in? Was it easy?
Well, it helps if you have got a few big names, then it's easier to get, you know, to bring other big names on board because, you know, they all resonate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they admire each other most of the time. So it was easy. Once you have a few big names, it's easier, right? I think the remarkable thing about this project is that they all agreed to participate. And I think the reason is that they resonate so much with the intention and the content of this project.
Mm-hmm. And each one of them separately talks about the heart anyway, right?
Yes. I mean, the first time I saw Dr. Maya Angelou was on the first inauguration of Bill Clinton. I saw her on television.
Mm.
And she was reciting a poem, and in that poem she speaks about the heart.
Mm.
And she did it with such presence. Yes, I all really specifically chose them because of the fact that they were talking about the heart in their work or speaking about the heart in their work. So they're all ambassadors of the heart, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You said you did TM years ago. And do you remember all the experiments they did of people? For 3 months, they did the transcendental meditation in and around Washington, D.C. And developed a huge coherent field and dropped some of the violence and the difficulties.
Yes, I know that experiment. Yeah.
So in reading this, my attention goes to that. So you've got Maya Angelou. You've got all these different people who are very, very conscious people and coming from the heart. So I feel like you're... your movie and your book are radiant that way, really developing a coherent field.
Yes, I think that if you start living from the heart and you do it consistently, and it's really the heart, because sometimes people think it's the heart, but it's not the heart, that this has a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really has a ripple effect. If you start doing it consistently, then other people will feel it, and it will open their heart. There's a saying in the Torah, words that come from the heart touch the heart. And I really believe that. If you are really coming from the heart, speaking from the heart, working from the heart, it will open other people's heart. And they will be inspired by you, and they want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the great inspirational leaders all come from the heart. They work from the heart, and we feel it. We just know it immediately. You know, we can detect it if someone is working from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see people and you think, oh, they're not supposed to lead us. You just feel it. But they're the leaders. And sometimes you see someone and you say, okay, I want to follow him. And that's a quality. I think
mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King had that quality. You
mm-hmm.
know, you just felt that this is a true leader.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone could feel that.
But that's
he
the
was
thing
leading
is
from
that,
the heart.
And in our society, I don't think that the value is that clear. Like, people don't say, is he coming from the heart? Will I vote for him because he's coming from the heart? That doesn't get said much, does it?
No, I think we should do that more. I think if you sometimes look at our leaders, then you just feel on a deeper level, those are not the people who are supposed to lead us, to be the leaders in our society. We just know it, but we don't say it.
But there's something interesting, and I was talking about the coherent field. We were just talking about that.
Yes.
And about your contribution into the collective. And I think of this co-creation of this wonderful, loving frequency that could just really pick itself up and even be such a big thing that we will have leaders that come from the heart. You know what I mean?
Yes. And again, it comes with courage.
Yeah.
Because a lot of time people who understand it, they say, oh, I'm not going to stand up. But if it's their calling, they will do it. But they need the courage to do it.
But hey, if you say stand up, I think that when you're coming from the heart like this, it is infecting or affecting the collective, even if you're hiding under the bed, don't you think? Not that you'd be hiding under the bed. You know.
Yes,
I mean?
Yes, but I think you feel it in the interaction, right? I mean, if you're just hiding in a cave,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to, you know, come out of the closet, come out of the heart closet, and just say, you know, I want to work from the heart. I want to live from the heart, and I want to do this in a very practical way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how you create the ripple effect.
The activation, hey.
Yes.
This is just like a sidebar, but you mentioned heart math, and I thought maybe people should hear a little bit about what they're doing, just a tiny bit, because it's...
Yes. So heart math, I was there just 2 days ago. I had a webinar there.
Mm-hmm.
And heart math is a research institute in Boulder Creek, California.
Mm-hmm.
And they do research on the heart. It's a scientific research institute. And the interesting research things they did. For instance, when you are in the state of heart coherence and you're in the most optimal state for your body, that's a state where you experience love, gratitude, and appreciation in your heart. They can measure this state, and then your whole body is working in its most optimal state. And when this is happening, your heart is sending signals to your brain, and then your brain opens up. So you are actually using more of your brain capacity when you experience love, gratitude, and appreciation. So we become smarter when we are, you know, connected with our hearts. And we all know this, you know, when you are stressed out and when you feel fear, you don't make the right choices. You know, you make choices from a very imbalanced perspective.
Or when we're really defended, we are actually
yes.
working against ourselves
yes.
instead of protecting
ourselves. Yes, yes. We make the most powerful choices when we are connected with our heart.
Mm.
And they can actually measure that. Another interesting thing is they found out, and they did this in many laboratories all over the world, that the heart can see things, can see events before they take place. And they did a lot of research on this. This research is also in the movie.
Hmm.
It's very interesting, and because this is a scientific explanation for intuition.
That's wonderful.
Because what's really happening, because sometimes you feel you know your hair in the back of your neck, or you get goosebumps, or you know you just know that something is going to happen. But it's always first the heart that picks up the signal of what's going to happen, and then sends it to the rest of your body.
Mm. I think that's really exciting information.
Yeah, and we put it in the beginning of the movie, you know, for all the people who are you know, skeptical, and it's good that people are skeptical, because we think, you know, that's the journey, you know, you go from skeptical, ultimately you go from skeptical to sourced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the journey we take when we started creating this movie. We say, okay, let's take the viewer on a journey, and we're going to show some really scientific, you know, great scientific research that the heart is really something we can trust. And sometimes our brains need this scientific validation. Sometimes we need this to give our brain permission to believe in the intelligence of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do. I really think we do, for the confidence. One more thing I wanted to say about heart math, and not that I want to dwell on that. It's just that they've got so much scientific backup for what they're doing. But I remember people talking about the horses. People learn to resonate with the horses there and so on, and they measure that too. So it's not just people, is it? It's
No, it's... I think sometimes, especially horses, but animals are much more aligned with the heart than we are. Isabel Allende says in a movie, also in the book, I connect with the heart when I'm playing with my dogs.
That makes sense.
They're so in the moment. I mean, Eckhart Tolle is also talking about, you know, animals are so much our teachers. They're so in the moment. They're not thinking, oh, what's going to happen next? And, oh, they are completely in the present moment, and they're connected with their hearts. And in that way, they have a ripple effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel it. We want to be with dogs if we can, and we want to play with them. But sometimes, you know, we close ourselves for that. But we always know, you know, when we have a big problem or we are really in our minds, and then all of a sudden our dog comes up to us or we see an animal, then we shift.
Anyway, you said, and play with them, and I'm going, yeah, and also play is part of keeping the heart open and playful,
yes.
Isn't it?
All right,
go ahead.
Please, yeah.
Well,
no,
back to the movies, I'm just thinking about, did your the fellow that you talked to, the retired fellow, did he ever get come back in and get involved in your production?
Well, we had... a screening in Amsterdam a few weeks ago, and I invited him to show him the end result, and he was very, very, very impressed. He said, I can't believe that you created this.
Yay.
This is amazing, he said. And this is not a Dutch production, this is an international production. And he was so impressed, and he's not someone who likes to give compliments, really. But he was impressed, and his heart was completely open. And he was really skeptical, and he said, I have to say, this is amazing. I didn't expect that you were able to pull this off. And I said, of course, I did this with a big team. I didn't do it.
But are you surprised, too? Are you ever like, whoa, this is like just transcendent magic?
Oh, yes, I have it too. I've seen the movie now so many times, but every time, because the problem is, if you produce the movie, you never have the opportunity to see it for the first time, you know, because you're so involved.
Right.
But now, because I do all these screenings all over the world, I get to see it for the first time through the eyes of the viewers who are there. And that's very rewarding, because I get to see their emotional journey, and they come to me after the movie, and they're crying, and they're open, and they want to share their stories. And that's the biggest compliment, you know, because stories are Dada with soul,
mm-hmm.
and people feel that through the movie, and then they open up, and it gives them permission to be vulnerable too, and they just come up to me and start to cry and thank me, and want to share their stories with me.
Wow.
Very, very personal stories.
Stories are data with soul. Is that what you said?
Yes.
I love that line. I'm going to use that line. Can I?
Yes, that's what I learned during the production. We learn through stories. We feel through stories. We grow through stories. And actually, Brené Brown said that, I think, the first time I heard it was Brené Brown. And I said, ooh, every author, every film director, every film producer should know it. Everyone who wants to tell a story should realize on the deepest level that stories are data with soul.
Yeah, that's a brilliant thing. Also, you have all these big name people. Did they ever did they come together at all? And was there any ego stuff? Or when you come from the heart, is it much easier not to be in the ego? Whether you're rich, poor, famous, or whatever. You don't have to tell tales out of school. I'm just asking on a general question.
I think I can only speak for myself. Every day I have to work at it. And I think also all the teachers, I mean, that's why I think they're so great teachers. Maya Angelou said, every day you go to the heart, every day you work at it, every day you have to make a decision again. And they were not saying, oh, I'm in my heart all the time and it's, you know, just flowing and happening. And I don't agree with people who say, you know, if you're in the heart, it's everything flows. Yes, you can have periods where everything flows, but you also have periods where nothing flows for you. And I've experienced that sometimes too. And it's, you know, if you have a match, you know, and you want to bring fire out of that match, then you first have to rub it against something.
That's
sometimes
right.
We also need the resistance for the fire, the intense heat to bring that out, because that's our full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I have you know, periods when I'm in the flow for days and days and days and days and everything flows. And Paulo Coelho said it beautifully, life has two ways of testing us. One is by having happen nothing at all. You know, sometimes we have periods where nothing happens and nothing is working. And he said the other one is when everything happens all at once. And I also, you know, experienced that.
That could be terrible,
you know?
Right?
Yes, everything happens at once, and everyone, you know, and you think, oh, it's too much. It's too much bliss. It's too much love. Because sometimes that happens, you know, when it's too much in a good way, you know, and you can only, you know.
Well, you can't distinguish it very easily, right?
Yes, yes, yes. But if I look at the stories and the reality of it, then they all said sometimes it is hard, sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it is, you know, sometimes you need to experience that resistance, and it really rubs you, but then, boom, the heat and the fire and the potential comes out. So I don't agree with people who say, oh, if you're in the heart and it's bliss all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my experience, and that's not the experience of the people I've interviewed. But
thank
yes,
you for that.
You can.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. But of course, I mean, I know that, you know, people have another opinion, but this is my experience from all the people I've interviewed, and it's also my experience.
Well, I like that better, because it doesn't perch people on this kind of unreal, you know, that fantastic way of being, which is not always practical.
Yeah, but life is not always highs. Life is highs and lows. But, you know, our ego says, oh, I only want to be in the highs. I only want to be in the flow all the time. Life is not like that. I mean, you need balance. That's what you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You need a foundation to live from balance. I think it's all about balance. And I think gratitude and appreciation are helping us to really balance our lives.
And gratitude, even if things are really rocky, eh?
Yes, exactly, exactly. You know, when you're in this situation and you think, oh, I have to do this, I'm going to an ordeal and no one is supporting me. If you start to become grateful in those difficult times, then you start to see, oh, where someone is not supporting me, there's actually someone who does support me, but you don't see it because you're in a you know, incoherent state.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a more coherent, grateful state, then you start to see, oh, there's a balance to everything. Where someone is not supporting me, there's someone else supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to sell fairy tales, but sometimes we just have to go through a crisis in order to bring the heat out and the full potential out. Mm-hmm. And Paulo Coelho, he said it beautifully, you will never ever reach your full potential if you don't open your heart. And he said, I'm not saying you're not going to suffer. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're not going to be defeated. I'm saying you won't regret it. And that's also what has been my experience, because I've been through highs and lows the past 5 years, mm-hmm. but I don't regret it.
Yeah. So you started this process 5 years ago.
Yes, it took me 5 years to produce this. Okay. That's also because I had no experience, and I had to go through this journey. And I'm very grateful for the journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful that I didn't have the experience, because otherwise I wouldn't have learned to really rely on my heart.
Did you find people fell off? Like you had people and then they fell away, or did your people come stick with you?
Well, there were some people who I started with them 5 years ago, but they didn't stay, mm-hmm. because they had different intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who stayed with me, they had the same intention. They really wanted to create a movie about the heart, from the heart. And so, you know, intention is really such a powerful force. If you have a group of people who have this, who are coming from the same intention, then you can, you know, create miracles.
Back to the coherent field again, hey?
Yes, exactly.
So exactly. You talked about screenings. I'm going, well, you're in LA right now. You're going to do a screening here right now?
Tonight I'll be at Venice. Venice. I have to look it up. I will be at the Mystic Journey Bookstore at Abbot Kinney Boulevard in Venice.
Okay.
At 6 p.m. we'll have a screening there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do more screenings. I'll be at Santa Barbara Film Festival on October 28th to do a screening.
Okay.
And there are more screenings coming up, but those have been confirmed. Yeah.
October 28th.
Santa Barbara Film Festival, yes.
I might try to catch you there. This is very exciting.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you.
Yes, and isn't it wonderful to go and, like you said, to watch it and experience the people who are interacting with your message, eh?
Oh, yes. I mean, in Germany, in Hamburg, we had a screening for 400 people. And after the screening, they all stood up, and there was a standing ovation for 5 minutes.
Oh, my.
And they were crying. And I'm a Dutchman, and, you know, a Dutchman in Germany is always interesting. And it was, you know, it was, wow, it was incredible. And they were all crying. And after that, I had the book signing, and, you know, there were 300 Germans lining up. They wanted to have pictures, and they wanted to share their stories, and very, very personal stories. And I was like, this really opens people up. This is beautiful. Yeah.
Well, you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I'm excited for you. Okay. And what are you going to do after this? I mean, you've got a lot more screenings to do before you can decide too much of that, eh?
I've got a very, my schedule is really filled now,
mm-hmm.
For the next few months. I'm going to promote it everywhere, all over the world. The book is now published in 65 countries.
Oh,
so I've got enough to do. it's super busy right now.
But you know what, Baptiste, it doesn't matter which nationality a person is if they are coming from the heart. I think that's true, isn't it? Or is that just too big a thing?
It is true. It is such a universal language. It is the most universal language we have on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the heart language. We can feel it. You can see it. You can see it immediately if someone is in their heart or not. Is there a sparkle in their eyes? Are they twinkling? How is their energy? I mean, we just can see it. We can tell. We have our energetical detectors with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't matter that you don't speak each other's language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for me, I'm speaking English now. It's not my mother tongue, and I'm trying to communicate as good as I can. But I'm using my heart to say the words. Yeah.
Now, you know, I think the people that are listening, like if people go through some really horrendous problems and they're fear-based, sometimes the heart can feel like it's closed and they don't know how to knock on it to get it open, Do you have any? I love your just a simple beginning one where you're breathing and have your hand on your chest. Boy, my whole body went bzzz when I was doing that. It was great. But can you give people just a quick little, example or a quick little exercise so they can try it?
Oh yes, I can do it. I think fear is, there's nothing wrong with fear. I think that's the first thing that we have to understand, because a lot of people feel it and they say, oh, I can't have it. I want to get rid of it. No, it's okay. But it's not good if you're paralyzed by fear for a long time, because mm-hmm. then it's gonna,
But people do get paralyzed by fear.
Yeah, people do get paralyzed. Well, I've asked this question to all of the interviewees. How can we challenge the frightened parts? How can we challenge fear when we do it? And they all said the same thing. You never attack the fear. You never attack the darkness. You always amplify the light. So what do you need to do? You need to find what helps you to align with love again, to align with your heart again. And for me, for instance, is, when I feel fear, and I feel it, often.
Mm-hmm. Because that's normal, isn't it? I mean, that is part
normal.
Of the human process.
It's normal. We all have it. We all have it all the time. So I just stop doing everything I do because, I'm going to make it a priority. Because when I am not aligned, when I am not, in my full power, then I have nothing to give to the world anyway. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, I'm just going to leave everything and I'm going for a walk for an hour because I want to align and I want to clean up my energy, and I just walk and I practice I cultivate feelings of gratitude and appreciation, and I breathe in for 5 seconds and I breathe appreciation in for 5 seconds and I breathe out and I breathe in through the heart and I breathe out through the heart, but. I asked this question to all of the interviews, and they all gave a different answer. For Jane Goodall, it is being out in nature. For Isabel Allende, it's sometimes writing. Writing helped her to go through a lot of very difficult moments in her life, just writing it, writing it to release it. So for her,
you mean writing or writing?
Yeah, writing like a
okay.
book, writing, yes.
Right, yeah, because she's done some brilliant books.
Yes, I mean, she lost her daughter because of negligence and malpractice in the hospital, right? And she had to forgive that. And writing helped her to forgive that. And this was very powerful to her. For Eckhart Tolle, it's connecting with the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Maya
Angelou does a lot of writing too, or did.
Yeah, Maya Angelou. But Maya Angelou said, if you don't know what to do, if you don't feel the connection, so if you're feeling fear, do nothing. Sit still. Don't spend your time with trivia. And that was her way. Of course she wrote a lot, but she also said, do nothing. Sit still. Wait. It's like a cloud. It will go away. So they all had their own way to deal with the fear and to reconnect with their heart, to reconnect with love. And I think, it should be a priority. It is a priority in my life to really figure out for me what works for me. And of course, we have the techniques from the Hartmut Institute. They're in the book, and we can always apply them. But you also have to look at your own specific blueprint. What works for you? I know there are people who say, okay, I have to take my guitar now, or I have to make music in order to, shift my energy from fear to love.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, okay, I need to go and walk with my dog because my dog is my brings me to my heart.
Right, right.
And we all know it. And I mean, I'm here in LA now.
We all know what is our...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, okay, I have to go to the beach. I have to walk barefoot there. Leave me alone now for 1 hour, and I'll be back. And then I'm completely aligned again. And there are also people who say, okay, I need to take a hot bath, and it helps too. you really have to look at what works for you. I mean, there are so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in the book and it's all in the movie, and everyone does it in a different way. I'm not saying, oh, there's only one way, because there is no one way, because we're all different people.
Well, your book is all about getting to your own true purpose.
Yes.
Which means it's
yes.
a myriad of ways, isn't there? You know?
Yes, yeah, but I've learned, I mean, I've interviewed all those wonderful luminaries, all those wonderful people. What I've learned is that ultimately, the only authority in your life is your own heart.
Right.
No one can tell you what you should do with your life. Only your own heart.
And it will really warn you. Now, tell me one more thing before we're finished here. I can't resist saying, what can you say about relationships, about loving, intimate relationships?
Well, a lot. We have a separate chapter on this.
Right.
Because it's so interesting and everyone wants to know about it.
Well, it's a pretty big deal. We're living in a society where relationships just have been a big challenge, hey? Or they've come apart.
Yes, I mean, relationships are there for us in order to grow. And
right.
I think we should see that, because if we want relationships without problems, or let's say without challenges, then I think you're not having a very realistic approach. You know, it's really like, okay, what is a relationship? And when does a relationship work? And when, you know, when is a relationship difficult? And why do we want to be in relationships? I mean, those are all very important questions. But I think in a relationship, you should really ultimately feel that all of you is welcome. If you are asked to leave part of yourself, then you can't grow, because you won't be able to stay connected with the aliveness in yourself. You won't be able to stay connected to your heart. So I think that is very, very, very important, that you're able to stay connected with who you really are, and you can, you know, really be yourself in a relationship. I think it's also really important in a relationship that you choose to communicate from the heart every time again. Because, you know, when you're communicating from the head, then there are two robots speaking to each other, two zombies, you know?
Two old programmers.
yeah, and you have to say to your partner, you say, I don't feel that you're speaking from the heart right now. I want to feel that heart in your voice. And you can say that in a relationship, because sometimes it's just not there. I want your full presence. I want to communicate with you, with your heart, not with your mind. And I think those are very, very important things. And yes, people are looking for their partner, and people are looking for their ideal partner, their soulmate, and they say they can find them. They're looking, and they can find them. And I think, you know, if your soulmate is not knocking on your door,
mm-hmm.
it's because, you know, it's a reflection of your own state. It's because you're not ready. And it's not that you're not looking hard enough, but, you know, you have to be ready and you have to be prepared for that to happen in your life. And I think that the preparation for finding the right person is being the right person, because it's all a reflection of who we really are.
So it's self-love as well, eh? Going to
Because most of the time we just want to fill up a void. We think we need a meaningful relationship, but it can be just a way to fill up a void inside us. We really have to look why we want a relationship. You know, why do we want it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. So our time has come to an end, and I really have enjoyed this. I've learned a lot. It feels wonderful just to talk to you. So if
yes,
you like,
it was a joy. It felt like 5 minutes.
Thank you, and thank you back and forth. And if you tell people your website and how to get to the movie, I think that's really important.
Yes, if people want information about where there are going to be screenings, then please go to our website. You can also order the movie through our website, thepoweroftheheart.com. You can also order our website through our distributor in the U.S., beyondwords.com. And you can also purchase the book at your local bookstore, and also order it through our website.
Yeah, I think thepowerofthehart.com.
I'm
going to keep this book near me.
And did you see that there's a glowing mandala on it?
Yes. It's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it's a wonderful book, everybody. I'm really enjoying it. So thank you, Baptiste Pape. Did I say your name right?
Yes.
Well, you're a wonderful contributor to our species, the collective, at this time on the planet. So thank you so much for our time today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. It was a privilege and an honor.
Many blessings.
Many blessings.